What are the eyes of the Lord? God does not have physical eyes. You know, he's a spirit, according to John 4:24. And so God doesn't have physical eyes. So this is what we would call an anthropomorphic expression that gives human qualities to God. And so in this sense, it gives God eyes, and it lets us know that there's nothing or no one in heaven and earth that can escape the watchful eye of God. Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We would like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of L. Roy, The God Who Sees Me. That as they came together, that Abraham and Sarah agreed to have a child through Hagar. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And Abram's wife, Sarah, had not borne him children. She owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps I can have children by her." And Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. And so Sarah had a slave that ministered to her personally. And Sarah was old now, and she was unable to have children. And she knew that Abraham wanted children. She knew that God had made promises, and the promises hadn't come true as of yet. And so they concocted a scheme where they said, "We will give Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, we will let him go in unto her, sleep with her, and then she will bear him a child." And we see that their plan, according to their strategy, it worked. Because in verses 3 and 4, it says, "So Abraham's wife, Sarah, took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife for him. This happened after Abram lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant." She became pregnant. So their plan worked according to the way that they designed it. But we see that it began to cause some issues. Because when Hagar realized that she was pregnant, she looked down on Sarah. And in verses 5 and 6, we see that some tension arises between the two of them. "Then Sarah said to Abraham, 'You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and ever since she saw that she was pregnant, she has looked down on me. May the Lord judge between me and you.' And Abraham replied, 'Here, your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you want with her.' Then Sarah mistreated her so much that she ran away." And so the tension between Sarah and Hagar got so bad that Hagar couldn't take it anymore. And she fled into the wilderness. And as she is fleeing into the wilderness, let's pick up the narrative in verse 7. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way of Shur. He said, 'Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from? And where are you going?' She replied, 'I'm running from my mistress, Sarah.' Then the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'You must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment. Wow. That must have been difficult. You know, you got to go back and submit to the person that's mistreating you. And the angel of the Lord also said unto her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and will have a son, and you will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild ass. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with all his brothers. So the angel of the Lord gives a little prophecy about her son and his life. And then it says here, so Hagar named the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees me. For she said, I have really seen here the one who sees me. That phrase, the one who sees me. Yes, you got it right. It's El Roy. El Roy, the God who sees me. And then not only that, but she named a spring. And the name of the spring was a well of the living one who sees me. In the Hebrew, literally, it is Bir Leh Hayroy. Bir Leh Hayroy. The well of the one who lives and sees me. So let me share that the Lord saw Hagar. The Lord saw what she was going through. That here she was mistreated. She felt rejected. She felt alone. And she fled into the wilderness. And let me share with you four things that the Lord saw. The God who sees. El Roy. The God who sees. The first thing, in verse 6, he saw how she was treated. That Sarah treated her harshly. And you know what? Sarah and Abraham were God's choice servants. But yet still, jealousy came in and Sarah began to treat her harshly. And God saw that. That whenever you're in a situation and you've been mistreated, you've been treated unfairly, take confidence in knowing that God sees how you're being treated. You may think that you're going through this thing all along. Maybe it's been unfair treatment on your job. Maybe you've been misunderstood and mistreated by someone in your family. I've heard so many horror stories about families who mistreat one another. And maybe you've been mistreated in your family. Maybe you've been mistreated. You didn't get the financial compensation that you thought that you should get. You've been mistreated because somebody took advantage of your good nature. God sees that. El Roy sees that. And you can take comfort in knowing that as he sees it, that he's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to make everything straight because he sees the situation. The Lord saw that Hagar was mistreated. The second thing we see is that the Lord saw where she was at in the wilderness. That no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, the Lord sees you. A little earlier, we talked about God seeing people, and we talked about how that God saw Hagar in the wilderness. He saw Elijah on the mountaintop. He saw the psalmist in the valley of the shadow of death. He saw Jeremiah in the pit, that no matter where you're at, God sees you. I've shared my testimony time and time again, how that I was preaching a revival. And it was about an hour's drive from where I lived in Virginia. And I preached the revival, and I was coming back in my car, and in the car that I was driving, the gas needle didn't work. And I thought I had put enough gas in to get me down and back earlier that day. But we did some running around, and I didn't calculate that, and it burned up some gas. And I ended up running out of gas almost in the middle of the night. And need to tell you, I mean, I was in the wilderness, and I was, you know, I could see cows in the field beside me. And I tried to get out, and if a car came by, and tried to hitchhike, but I realized that nobody was stopping in the middle of the night to pick me up. And I got back in the car, and I stayed in the car all night. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I was a little concerned. I was a little fearful. But you know what? A calm and a peace came over me. And the calm and the peace that came over me was to know, wow, that God saw me, that I wasn't unseen, that even though to humans no one might have known where I was exactly at, that there was a God who saw exactly where I was at. And I don't know where, you know, you might find yourself at this time. Maybe on the mountaintop, maybe in the valley, maybe in a pit. Wherever you find yourself, God sees you. He saw Hagar in the wilderness. The next thing that we see is that in verse 11, he saw her cry of affliction. The Bible says that she cried in affliction, and that God saw the wound of her heart. God saw the cry of her heart. And sometimes when we are going through a time of affliction, we might forget that God is there. Our circumstances might become so overwhelming that now, you know, we don't see God. We're not aware of God's presence in our lives. As I was preparing for this sermon, I came across something, and I thought that it would be interesting to try it this time. So hopefully this works. But just look around where you're at and notice anything that's blue. Notice anything that's blue. I'm here in our sanctuary at Bethany Baptist Church, and as I look around, I'm noticing the dividers. They're blue. We have flags hanging up, and some of the flags are blue. I'm looking at some water bottles, and they're blue. And you know what? Until I mentioned that, you probably might not have been aware of the blue things in your surroundings. I know I've been preaching for the last 15, 20 minutes, and I wasn't aware of these blue things. But now that somebody called my attention to the blue things, now I know, y'all know where I'm going, right? I know they're there. And sometimes we might not be aware of God because our situation can be so overwhelming. But just look around and see all the mighty things that God has done for you. See all the great things that God has done for you, and become aware of his presence, and know that he sees you, know that he's with you as you go through this difficult time. And not only is he aware of what you're going through, he is aware of even when the enemy is getting ready to launch an attack on you. Oh, I heard an interesting fact, and the fact is that lions, that the reason that they can overtake, you know, their prey is because of the element of surprise. That if the lion sees the eyes of his prey, that it'll just kind of freeze until the eyes are not on him anymore. And then the elephant will, now I keep saying elephant, then the lion will jump on its prey. Well, there was a place in Africa where they were having some issues with lions attacking their herds of cow. And so what they did was on the backside of the cow, they painted eyes. And these eyes, you know, caused the lion to have to stop and hesitate on jumping on the prey, because they felt that the eyes were an awareness of the lion's presence. And so even when we think about God, that his eyes, that the enemy sees the eyes of God. And when the enemy sees the eyes of God, that the enemy has to hesitate in its attack, has to put off its attack. And a perfect illustration of this is the book of Job, that Satan could only go as far as the Lord would allow him to go. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord, that Satan saw the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to take my eyes away and I'm going to let you do this. Okay, I'm going to take my eyes away and I'm going to let you do this. He could only go as far as the Lord would let him. The eyes of the Lord are a terror to the enemy, are a obstacle to the enemy. They are an impediment to the enemy. Thank God for his eyes, because they keep the enemy from attacking us. And finally, we see that the Lord saw her future, that the Lord was able to tell Hagar that she would have a son, and he gave her all the details about her son. And so when we think about the fact that the Lord, El Roy, that the Lord saw Hagar, he saw how she was treated, he saw where she was at in the wilderness, he saw her cry of affliction, and he saw her future. But I want to close with this. And the thing that I want to close with, and this is probably the most important thing. Not only did the Lord see her, but oh, I need somebody to hear me on this point, or you're gonna miss the point of the message. I need you to hear me on this. And the fact is that not only did the Lord see Hagar, but she saw the Lord. She saw the Lord. It says, so she named the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees, for she said, have I really seen here the one who sees me? That she saw the Lord who saw her. Have you seen the Lord? Do you know that God is watching over you? Maybe that's the reason why you struggle. Maybe that's the reason why you have a difficult time. Maybe you're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling abandoned. Maybe you're feeling forsaken, because you haven't seen the fact that God sees you. Yeah, it was a blessing to know that the Lord, that El Roy, that he saw Hagar. But it was also a blessing when Hagar saw him, when she realized that there was a God who saw her. I remember I was having a rather difficult time when I was in seminary. I didn't have a job, had to support a family. I remember on one occasion, we got blessed with $5, and me, Angie, and Nicole, we had a little wagon, didn't even have a car at the time. We had a little wagon, and we pulled that to the store, which was about a mile away. bought some diapers, bought some macaroni, bought some hot dogs, and that's all we could afford. And came back and ate that. And I remember that evening going out on my patio and just looking up in the sky. And I said, Lord, I know that you're up there. Lord, I know that you're up there. And you got to know about me. I didn't know it at the time. But I had a revelation of Elroy. I had a revelation of knowing that there was a God up there who saw me and who knew what was going on in my circumstances and in my situation. And then I love this last verse that we're going to look at. And it goes on to say that as Hagar gave a name to the place or the well, she said, that is why she named the spring a well of the living one who sees me. It is located between Kadesh and Bered. That she called the name of the well Beer Le Haroi, which means the well of him who liveth and sees me. That there was a well where she met Elroy. And when she had this revelation of Elroy and she saw Elroy, that there was a well that she named Beer Le Haroi, the well of the one who liveth and sees me. Do you know that God sees you? And do you realize that you can see the fact that he sees you? Do you understand? Have you had that revelation that God sees you in whatever you're going through? Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be able to share the word of God. And we pray that you would take this message to someone who needs to be assured, who needs to be comforted in knowing that you see them. And Lord, as they have that comfort and that confidence, help them to realize that they can see you also, that they can see you as the one who watches over them, that you can, they can see you as the one who sees them. Oh God, move in hearts today. And we pray that if there's someone that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today they might open up their heart and pray and ask Jesus to come in simply by saying, Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that you died on the cross for my sin. And right now, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me, seeing my need, and providing a Savior. And I ask that Savior to come into my heart at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, why don't you contact us here at 412-242-3255. Leave us your name and how we can get in contact with you, and someone will follow up on this decision that you have made today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you would be blessed as you go with Elroy, the God who sees.
Greetings, radio friends. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Elohim, the God, the Creator God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Elroy, the God who sees me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Elroy, the God who sees me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Elroy, the God who sees me. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.